Take your Bibles. Take your Bibles. Thank you. Take your Bibles. Go to Matthew 4. All right. Thank you. Take your Bibles. Take your Bibles. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Not really your dad, but thank you. I do love you, yes. Thank you, Josh and Joy, for that special. And you make a great duet. And Justin, I'm wondering why you're sitting back there. I look for you right up here. Now you're back with the heathen back there. Man. Okay. All right. Excuses, excuses. I understand. It's an honor to preach here, and it's an honor to preach anywhere, and but especially here, it means more to me. And when I sat where you sat, if you'd have told me I would be up here preaching, probably I would have ran from here as fast as I could. I am extremely introverted by nature. I have there's 13 kids in our family. I was right in the middle, number 7, and so I have 7 sisters and 5 brothers. So you can imagine, with 7 sisters, you didn't get a chance to say very much, and whenever you did, you had to kind of get a comment in here or there, and so I talk fast. But the Lord has grown me much, and when I came to college, I came from a small town of you know, there's more cows than people in the town that I grew up in. And I joke, it's funny, when I came, first time we had a promotion to the zoo here, they had cows at the zoo, and I just thought that was the strangest thing. Why would you have cows at a zoo? I saw them every day of my life, and plus they're not that appealing in any ways to look at. But when I came here, I wanted to come and really just kind of fly under the radar, you know, get a diploma, get a wife, and, you know, make some good friends and leave here. And I did get a diploma. I did get a wife, and I'm very thankful for that. It's an honor, though, to serve here. And 16 and a half years ago is when I came to college, 2006. As a freshman, and not really that old. But the Lord worked on me. And yes, for my family, it was the thing to do to come here. All 13 of us came to Hiles Anderson College. But the Lord really helped me and did a change in me, and much of that change took place here in this room. And it truly is an honor. It's an honor to serve here with wonderful staff and faculty. And I thought I knew the staff and faculty loved me while I was a student, but until I came on staff and got to see and work with them and see their heart, did I truly understand better when they said, "We love you," that they truly did, and what that meant. The long hours that they put in, the sacrifices that they make, and for you. And I don't say that to pat us on the back or anything, but it's because we love you. We truly do care about you. And it is an honor to serve here. It is also an honor to serve you. And the long hours that you put in, I get it, I understand, I've been there. And I worked at Averitt Express in college, and boy, we get off midnight, 1 in the morning, drive an hour back here, and do it all again the next day. And that's where you're at, and I admire you much for that. And sticking with it, and not quitting. Boy, financial challenges, ministry challenges, relationship issues, long hours, and you stuck with it. And Brother Hiles, he said, success and failure are on the same road. Success is just a little farther down. And when you come to failure, when you come to those obstacles and you quit, the secret is just got to keep going. You got to keep going. And that's where you're at. And very challenging, but you're here in chapel, and I admire you for that. A couple nights ago, I got a text about midnight, and one of the college men in here said, I had a flat tire on the way home from work, and I don't have a jack, so I have 2 other guys that are coming to pick me up, and two other guys then from here went and helped him out. They got in after 2 that morning. And I admire you for that, but I was reminded of, it was late January. I was on my way home from work, and it was in Chicago from Averitt Express. I got a flat tire. It was so cold out, and I slid. I was turning into the light. I got a flat tire, went out, you know, and I'm, you know, Brother Heil's curse word, dirty bricker, brick breaker, whatever that is. And man, I was so mad, and I changed that tire in the cold, and I came back, and I got in. It was about midnight. And what's funny about that is that I was a sophomore, and there's a girl that I was wanting to ask to the Valentine banquet, and I told God, I kind of like put out a fleece, like, all right, God, you're God, right? You can control everything. So if you want me to ask her out, you kind of figured out a way that it's just the two of us by yourself. And if you do that, if you can orchestrate that, I will ask her out. I should say where she's not with friends, where she's not with friends. I come in that night. No joke, it's about midnight, and for some reason, that was the exact night they had late ladies' devos. All the other girls had gone, and I turned the corner by the post office, and she and a dorm soup had walked up these stairs to walk that way to go to her dorm. Well, her dorm soup left and went to her dorm here in Rice, and so I was there walking down the hallway. She was coming this way, walking down the hallway, and there it was. And I felt like God was saying, all right, like, what more do you want, you know? And so I did. I asked her out. She said yes. We went to the banquet. Well, and I thought, this is just a phenomenal start to a relationship. This is going to last. And she broke up with me a month later. I know. All right, let's get into the Word of God. I'm going to talk today, and it's not going to be, we've had great messages last week with Missions Conference, the week before, and it seems like the week before, but last week with Missions Conference, and then recently Brother Shook, and then just phenomenal messages. And this is not going to be rip your socks off type message, rip your face off. Just going to be my goal is this. My goal is to put inside of every student here a desire and a passion to love God's word more, to desire God's word more. And I'm going to talk about the word of God today. And it's something that, truthfully, wherever you are in your Christian walk and your Christian life, we need this. We need this at every stage. And we'll jump into it. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, I pray that through this today that you'd help develop in each of us, Lord, a love for your word, a desire to know your word better. Lord, you say that you've exalted your word above even your name and the priority of your word. I pray you to help it to be important to us. Lord, if there's students here that don't have a regular walk with you, Lord, I pray that today they'd begin to develop that. And that it'd be something that it'd be desirable to them, and that it would be life-changing to them. We ask these things in your name. Amen. A 2018 article by an influential magazine said this. They wrote this article, 21 famous books you don't need to read. In that was classics such as Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, books by Ernest Hemingway, John Adams by David McCullough. In that list was also the Bible. And this is what they said. They said, the Holy Bible is rated very highly by all the people who supposedly live by it, but who in actuality have not read it. Those who have read it know there are some good parts, but overall it is certainly not the finest thing that man has ever produced. It is repetitive, self-contradictory, foolish, and even at times ill-intentioned. Abraham Lincoln said about the Bible, this just kind of shows you how far our country has gone. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Never at a time in our country do we need a revival of going back to the Bible. Never at a time in our nation do we need a revival of longing, desiring, reading, praying, talking about the Word of God, as we do, in my opinion, as this point. I'm going to start an introduction to talk about the power of God's Word and then get into the sermon. If you would, you're in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we'll start with verse number 1. This is going to be very familiar territory to most of you. But I want to lay a foundation. Matthew 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.'" It's always interesting to me that the devil quoted scripture to Jesus. Verse 7, "Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." I'd like to, in introduction, talk a little bit about the power of God's word before getting into the message. I see here the power of God's word to overcome temptation. The power of God's word to overcome temptation. Obviously, with each of these temptations that Satan brought to Jesus, his response with each one was, "It is written. It is written. Again, it is written." What's sad to me is when Satan tempts us, we can say it is written, but we don't have anything to say after that, because in some cases, we don't know what is written. So to be able to say it is written, we have to have something to say after that. What is written? And the Bible is our defense against temptation. Jesus lays that foundation for us. I was reading the story several weeks ago of Mel Trotter. Brother Sisk mentioned this at Missions Conference. Mel Trotter, and part of this story is what captured me while doing a study for a Sunday school lesson I was teaching in our class. And Mel Trotter grew up in the late 1800s, but grew up, him and his three brothers were, their dad was an alcoholic. All three of them became alcoholics. And he was a heavy drinker. And I won't go through the whole story, but summarize, he felt like he always wanted to try to give it up. He made promises to his wife, "I'll never drink again." He said, "I just could never do it." Later on, Mel Trotter, and this is his testimony, is his words, he said, "I came home one day after 10 days out drinking. I came home, their family was living in Iowa at the time." He said, "My wife was holding our 2.5-year-old baby boy. God gave us one child, and that child died. I came home that night, my wife was holding her, and he said, there, she said, I'm going to pray," and she prayed, and she said, "God, my desire and my focus has been on this child. I pray that you'd help my desire more to be on you." And he said, as he heard her pray, he hated his sin so much. At the funeral there, his wife made him go up to the coffin and put his hands there on that casket of their 2.5-year-old son. And she said, "I want you to promise me, Mel, that you'll never take another drink of alcohol in your life." He put his hands there on the coffin, and he promised God he would never take another drink of alcohol in his life. In his words, he says, 2.5 hours later, I came home drunk, so drunk. His condition got worse and worse, and he found himself, he took a train up here to Chicago and with the intent of taking his life. He gives the crossroads of the corner where he was going to take his life. But while he was walking there, it was close to the Pacific Garden Mission, and someone there invited him inside. And he said, "I fell asleep through all the preaching there," someone did. He said, "I fell asleep, but when I woke up, one of the men there were giving their testimonies." He said, "I heard his testimony, I thought, man, like of how God changed him." He said, "That's what I want for my life. That's what I've been missing." He talked to him. He got saved that night. And this is what captured me about this story in regards to in my study for this. He said, "The next day I was on my way to work, and I got a small New Testament." His brother Will and George later, they all got saved, ended up having missions to help other people with their addictions. And he said, "My brother Will gave me a New Testament," and he said, "I took it to work, and I had about 7.5-minute ride to work." And he said, "I decided to take one verse every single day. And I took one verse every day that I decided I would memorize and I would meditate on for the whole day." And he said, "After one whole year, I had memorized 365 verses in the Bible." And he says, "Never, that from that night, I never ever again went back to alcohol. I never took another drink of alcohol. Certainly the power of a saved life, but I think also the power of Scripture. The power of Scripture to overcome sin, to overcome temptation. Is there a sin in your life that you just feel like I can't get victory for? We fight it with the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 19, just listen, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous means deliberate, willful. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119, 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. John 15 and verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. No doubt we have a sin problem in our country. We have a sin problem in our lives, and the answer is the word of God. It is our defense against sin. Whatever follows, it is written, gives you the power to defeat temptation. When it comes to sin and temptation, we must be able to say what is written. R.A. Torrey said, any day we neglect to feed on the word of God, we leave an open door through which Satan is sure to enter our hearts and lives. Any day we neglect to feed on the word of God, we leave an open door through which Satan is sure to enter our hearts and lives. Next, I see the power of God not only to defeat sin or to conquer temptation, but two, the power of God to increase our faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you want a life, to live a life that pleases God, and I believe we do, then we must have faith. It's impossible to please him without it. But how do we get faith? Through the word of God. Hebrews 11 verse 5 says, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. What do we know about Enoch? Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. Is your life, are you living a life that pleases God? You need faith. How do you get faith? Through the word of God. Through the word of God. Next, I see an introduction, the power of the word of God to direct our path. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Too often we run to find answers first from everyone and everywhere else when we need to go to the Bible. Ronald Reagan said, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. Remember in college, Brother Al Swarty came and he was teaching one of the classes that I was sitting in. He brought with him an owner's manual. And he said, guys, the answer to every problem that you will have with your car is in this book. As a mechanic, sometimes, and if you know Brother Al Swarty, I don't know if he would ever get frustrated with anyone or anything. Sometimes it would be frustrating when someone has a question. And I want to say to them, your answer is in this book. Your problem, you have not read the book. And I'm not saying you need to go read your owner's manual. But then, Brother Al Swarty said this, and it stuck with me. He said, the answer to every question of life is in a book. And then he held up the Bible. The Bible, yes, it's power to defeat sin. Yes, it has power. It's our defense against temptation. It is a light to our path. What should I do here? What should I do in this situation? I'm all for godly counselors. I really am. I have them in my life. Many times in college, I'd call my mom, I'd call my dad for a question about what to do. But I'll tell you what, the Bible, this word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we want to know what to do, Go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. All that is introduction. I want to get in my message. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to, let's see, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. While you're turning there, let me give you this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I would say also the power of God is the Word of God is profitable. It is also profitable. Matthew 4:4 we read, and I'll get to 1 Peter 2 in a minute. Matthew 4:4 said, but he answered and said, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I love the analogy of the Word of God as bread. It is our food for daily life. Someone said the Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. You're in 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I have four children. Each one of my four children, when they were newborn babes, desired to eat. My youngest son, Eric, and he's now 2.5 years old. I remember this one time, and I told this in class yesterday, but my son, Eric, he couldn't even walk yet, and he could barely crawl, and he had crawled to where I was just about to open the fridge, and I opened the fridge, and he scooted himself to where he just sat there. The fridge door is open, and he sat there, and he just looked inside. And my son, Eric, out of all of our four kids, he loves food more than any of them. Eric is the one that if he was crying, it was like, hey, give him some food. Give him a cheese stick. Give him a goldfish cracker. He'll be okay. It always soothed Eric. Not my other kids. I remember Eric sitting there. And there he's sitting there, the fridge wide open. I remember him looking at all that food. And the look on his face was just, like, food. As newborn babes, when they didn't get food when they were hungry, you know what they did? They cried and they cried and they cried. And I could hug them as much as I wanted to hug them, but it didn't matter. They still cried. I could tell them, I love you and I'm proud of you, but you know what they did? They still cried. The world could stop because they needed food. Longed for it, desired it. They had to have it. And God uses the analogy here in Scripture in 2 Peter, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The way to grow physically is to eat. So the way to grow spiritually is to eat. We must continue to grow. If you are not eating physically, you are dying. If you are not eating spiritually, you are dying. There's an article published in 2012 titled America's Favorite Unopened Book. So with all these Bibles bought, with all the influence that it has made on our civilization and culture, why don't we read the Bible? Tyndale House Publishing did a survey on this perplexing question. 94% of Americans said they did not read the Bible because they were too busy. 80% said the book is just too confusing to understand. Despite our efforts of Sunday schools, Bible studies, worship services, and home groups, you can ask 100 church members if they read their Bibles today, and based off of their survey by Tyndale House Publishing, 100 church members, 84 would say no. Ask them if they read it in the past week, and 68 would say no. Even more disconcerting, ask those 100 church members if reading or studying the Bible has made a significant difference in their lives. Only 37 out of 100 would say yes. More than 200 million people have no access to spiritual food, no scripture in their own language, yet we, despite owning more Bibles per household than we will ever use, are slowly starving to death because we have lost our appetite for scripture. It's easy to point the finger at our country. Look what happens when you take the Word of God out of the public schools. Yes, but how about your life? Have you lost your appetite for Scripture? I propose to you this morning that Scripture is the most important meal of the day. Jeremiah 15, 16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to see this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse number 13. Bible says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. The more you read the word of God, the more you will love its author. While I dated my wife, who is now my wife, Esther, and I didn't put a fleece out with her. I was manned up and I asked her, and she said yes, and we kept dating. My wife, Esther, is probably her love language, if you're familiar with the love language, is words of affirmation. And she wrote me a note probably after every date, maybe not like the chapel days, but if we ever did a date, she would write me a thank you note or just a note. And most of them were homemade or handmade, however you say that. When we first started dating, we started dating in February, and that year I went home for spring break, and I was driving late at night. I was driving, I don't know if it was through the night or just 11, 12, and she said, "I'll try to keep you awake." I said, "Okay." And so she, at the time, I had a flip phone. And I'm going to date myself here, but at that time, you had to pay for every text that you sent. Remember those days? Do you remember those days? Okay. And I didn't know this, but she was on a plan where she had to pay for every text that she sent. And so the whole ride home, and I know you're not supposed to text and drive. Please don't text and drive. But she texted me those 6.5, 7 hours to Minnesota. In Minnesota, I lived in what's called the Village of the Valley, Mazeppa. And I told you about our town already. I didn't get cell phone reception at our house there. However, I found out something. We had a very big house. If I went through the upstairs, through the attic, and I climbed the ladder out onto the roof, and I stood next to our chimney on the roof, I could get one bar of reception. Isn't that great? Talk about longing to talk to someone. And I remember there, though, going through, because she had texted me, and I remember reading those texts over and over and over and over again. I got texts that day from my brother. I read them one time, and that was it. You know why it meant something to me? Because of who wrote it. It was the words of someone that I wanted to get to know better. Someone that I wanted to love, that I wanted to love me. She made me two of these box shoe boxes that I have, and just it's full of her letters to me, notes to me, pictures and notes. And here's one, "Lucky in Love," and this is a St. Patrick's Day one. I won't read that to you. But guys, you know how it is, right? When you get that letter from someone that means a lot to you, and sometimes they'll spray it with perfume and you'll smell that. But you open it up and you read that and you hang on every word don't want to knock my box over. And you long for that. My notes to her probably fit in like a quarter of one shoebox. Every time I got a note from her, I'd read it. I wanted to know more about her. And because I wanted to know her better, the words that she wrote to me, I valued them. I longed for them. I desired them. And God wants us to do that with his word. Do we long for his word? Last place I'll have you turn is Job 23. And I'll wrap this up. Job chapter 23. Charles Spurgeon said, "Visit many good books, but live in the Bible." Job 23:12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Someone said, when you open your Bible, God opens his mouth. I won't have you turn there, but I wanted to. Luke 24, the road to Emmaus. They made this statement about when Jesus talked to them. They said, "Did not our heart burn within us when he expounded unto us the scriptures?" Did not our heart burn within us when he expounded unto us the scriptures? Let me ask you, student, when was the last time you read the Bible and your heart burned within you? You read the Bible and you longed for it, you desired it, you wanted it. It was sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. It was more precious unto you than gold and silver. This is the words, not the words of men, but as it is the words of God that we hold and we get to have. It's so sad that we neglect it. We don't prioritize it. I challenge to you, get back to the Bible. Get back, and I understand. I'm at a Bible college. Many of you have assignments for class. You need to memorize Scripture and read the Bible. That's all great. You should. But it's sad to me that so many people neglect the Bible. And I don't want to cast blame or judge anyone here. But let me just ask you, in your own personal life, have you neglected the words of God? Would you make a decision today, God, help me to value your word. Psalm 119, help me to long for your commandments. Help my heart to burn when I read your word. Have it make a difference in my life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?